This is Radio Hereford FC, the home of the Bulls.
Welcome to the first edition of the Ballscast with me, George Holloway, the new podcast where we'll discuss the biggest talking points from Hereford FC's latest fixtures. On this episode of the pod, we reflect on Hereford's 2-0 opening day defeat at Spennymoor, the positives Paul Caddis can take from it moving forwards, and we'll also look ahead to the game against Kingston at Edgar Street this Saturday. I'm joined by Radio Hereford FC commentator Keith Hall. Let's get into it. Keith, thanks for joining me. An opening day loss for the Bulls up in the northeast. What did you make of the game?
I thought we did really, really well, especially the first half an hour. Lots of movement with Enoento down the right-hand side. I've had a look at the highlights that have been put up, and it doesn't really give you a true reflection of the amount of possession that Hereford had in that first half an hour. And the number of times that Enoento was getting past his man, he was giving Mackenzie Heaney a bit of a run around. Nearest the grandstand, really, as a slope on the pitch from left to right and also diagonally down the pitch. So he was seeing a lot of possession, getting to the byline, a couple of penalty appeals as well. But it looked really, really good in the first half an hour. And I thought at the time, whoever scores first, they're going to get control of this game. We were just praying it would. Hereford's old adage, got to score when you're on top. And unfortunately, the Bulls didn't.
Really positive start from the Bulls, and for two new signings in particular. You've mentioned one of them in Enoento, but also Sam Osborne, who had the ball in the back of the net on 3 minutes, but the referee brought play back for what he perceived to be a slight nudge on a Spennymoor defender. Correct decision?
Well, yeah, two times he got the ball in there. I think one was for a push, as you say, and the second was for offside. So, yeah, he looked very lively in that sort of number 10 role. I was expecting Amari Sterling-James to play there in the lead-up to the game, but it was obvious when the game started that Sterling-James was on the left and Sam Osborne was playing that free number 10 role. It looked very lively again, useful, took people on, quick feet. Close control was good. So, I thought for a sort of National League North debut for Hereford, I thought he did very well. Obviously, he's got experience at this level, quite a lot of it, in fact. But, I thought he played particularly well in that, the whole game, but especially in that opening stages.
They couldn't take advantage when they were on top, and Spennymoor made them pay on 35 minutes. If there's one man you have to keep an eye on when you play Spennymoor, it's probably Glenn Taylor, Keith.
Yeah, I think it was all down to Hereford's ambition at the time. They were taking the game to Spennymoor frequently in that first half, and obviously Keenan Consa had come up on that right-hand side. He was in the Spennymoor half when the ball came to Mackenzie Heaney, I believe it was, in the left-back position, and he just curled one down the touchline, and all of a sudden there was room for Glenn Taylor. And you just say, it's a sort of play you must not give room to. If you can get touch tight to him throughout a game, then that'll lessen his impact. As soon as he got space, Gus Mafuta couldn't get back quickly enough. There was space on that left-hand side. He ran 10 yards. Out came Theo Richardson, and he just simply showed good composure to get the ball into the back of the net to make it, that decisive opening goal. But he is such a good striker. If you get him into those positions, he's hardly likely to fail, really.
It's not the sort of finish that Glenn Taylor was ever going to miss. He's way past 200 goals now for the Moors. Mackenzie Heaney, of course, was the player who slid Glenn Taylor in down the left-hand side, and both of them were involved for the second goal. It was Mackenzie Heaney's corner, which picked out Glenn Taylor at the near post. He nodded it down, and there was Dan Rowe to finish calmly. Little bit of a scrappy goal, Keith, but great composure shown by Rowe to fire it past Theo Richardson.
Yeah, it was a very congested penalty area from that set-piece corner, and the ball dropped, and it was, fortunately for Spennymoor, it fell to Dan Rowe, who knocked it in. I actually didn't think he'd struck it as cleanly as he did when I looked at the highlights. But I think that was because Theo Richardson actually got a hand to it. So it bounced from his hand and it just about found the back of the net. You know, it was a slow motion when the ball actually hit the back of the net. But yeah, it was a fortunate second goal, really bad timing, just on the stroke of half time. And that really was going to knock the stuffing out of Hereford, I think, because 2-0, you know, your tails are up, you go into the changing rooms, totally different mentality. And it was hard to try and get back from there. First goal, yeah. You know, fair play to Glenn Taylor, but had Hereford scored it, we could have been talking about a totally different result.
There are no good times to concede, are there? But there certainly are worse times than others. And right on the stroke of half time, 44, 45 minutes for Dan Rowe to put that into the back of the net to make it 2-0 would have changed Paul Caddis's team talk.
Yeah, I think it would. And it would also change Spennymoor's mindset for the second half. As far as they were concerned, it was game over, result done. They were, you know, a lot more resolute, should we say, in the second half. They didn't give Hereford much room at all to move in. Whereas in the first half an hour, Hereford were moving, finding space, and Spennymoor were a little bit more open. Second half they weren't, and they certainly closed things down as quickly as possible. So it was hard for Hereford to try and get back into the game. Five changes, you know, five from seven subs. Hereford only actually had six with Matt Preston, etc. out. So changes were made, but it was always going to be difficult. I thought Lewis Hudson came on with a lot of determination for the last 10 minutes or so. We saw glimpses of Madu Cisse, and Ilani Edwards looked useful on the right flank, actually, when he came on for his senior debut. I think there was probably a lot more to come from the Villa Loney.
Gus Mafuta and Matt Richards in the centre of the park for the Bulls on Saturday, Keith, of course, with Sammy Robinson and Tate Campbell moving on. Do you think it's a good partnership moving forwards?
Well, I think they combined well, those two, actually. They're both willing to come deep to collect the ball and move it from there. Both of them like to make a simple pass and keep momentum going. Matt Richards impressed me because, you know, he just came in and linked things up through the centre. Mufuta was a little bit more, shall we say, aggressive. If you lose the ball, it's more likely for Mufuta to get back in there. Old adage again, get stuck in. But he's the man to put a foot in. And if you do lose the ball, he's, you know, has that physique really to ruffle the feathers, as it were, of the opposition in centre field. And Hereford perhaps have lacked that since Paul Caddis came into the club. He's been looking for that type of player. He's talked about it. And maybe all of a sudden we've got that figurehead, if you like, in the middle. He's not going to stand out as a ball-playing, creative midfield player. But what he's going to give you is that determination and that nous in the midfield. I think he's somebody who communicates well. And so players around him know what he's looking for.
And Oento probably had the best chance in the second half to try and get the balls on the score sheet. He had a header in the first half, which drew a good save. And then on 72 minutes, which flew narrowly over Brad James's crossbar.
First half, thought we were the more aggressive team, the more creative team. Showed, you know, a lot of movement on and off the ball, which took everybody by surprise because pre-season, we talked about it being a sort of a stop-start build-up. So to come out fresh like that was very, very encouraging indeed. Yeah, second half, I give credit more to Spennymoor. Some people are saying, oh, well, that was poor performance. We've lost 2-0. You know, basically, yeah, didn't score. Take the criticism. Absolutely. Bang on. But it's not, you know, you're not suddenly going to get a Glenn Taylor into your team. As something that takes a while, or you build a team around that sort of player over a number of years, and that, I don't think in August you're going to go out and find a 20-goal-a-season striker to come in. So I think that's a bit of a red herring. Clubs are not likely to release a striker either. So if that business was going to be done, it would have been done in the summer. Chances, yeah, I think Ben Pollock had played well in defence, former Hereford player. I thought Romain Campbell stuck to his task really well, and he is an out-and-out centre-forward, and he basically needs somebody in and around the box. I think that's what Hereford missed. Paul Caddis talks about box entries. There probably weren't enough, especially in that second half. They were stymied. They got from box to box really well. It was just that final delivery that eluded them, really. And I think that will come over a while. But these players have got to gel. Shock to the system. We got 12 new players this summer. It doesn't feel like it. All the social media comments. Oh, we haven't signed any players. We don't know who anybody is. Well, I don't think many people knew who Tate Campbell or Sammy Robinson were last year. So give these players a chance to gel. Every manager I've ever spoken to said, don't look at the table until 10 games. So a defeat at Spennymoor is hardly unusual. We haven't won there since 2019 when Lance Smith had his best game in a Hereford shirt and Tom Owen Evans got the second. So since then, we've not picked up much at all at Spennymoor.
Yeah, only lost three times at home last season as well, Spennymoor, and of course reached the FA Trophy final as well, where they lost to Aldershot. It's always going to be a tough opening fixture. Following on from your last point there, Keith, about the goals in the team, two players that were responsible for plenty of box entries and threat for Paul Caddis' side were Yusuf Cisse and Jaden White, who were Hereford's two top scorers last season. Both, of course, moved on. Have you seen enough from Hereford's new signings to say that they can fill that void?
Well, as I say, Sam Osborne put the ball in the net twice. Eno Neto looked lively down that right flank, got into the penalty area, forced a couple of late challenges, one of which would have been a penalty if the referee hadn't already seen the signal. So I think Osborne will probably chip in with double-figure goals the way he was buzzing around. And, you know, so it's up to those players to get themselves into those positions. And it'll take time to work on, you know, combinations, and I'm sure it will come.
The last two champions of the National League North, Tamworth and Brackley, both lost their opening day fixtures. And although those two clubs are in different circumstances to Hereford, Keith, it is very early, isn't it, to start making a judgment call on where these players are at and what kind of season Hereford are going to have.
Well, it's just ridiculous, quite frankly. 46 games in the season. Everybody's talking about the National League North being the strongest it's ever been. So teams will take points off each other up and down the table. I don't think anybody's going to be cast adrift at the bottom. So you probably could get into playoffs having lost 10 or 11 games, maybe. It's going to be like that from a couple of wins and you'll be in the top 10, a couple of defeats and you'll be in the bottom 10 all the way through the campaign. What you've got to do is try and get a bit of consistency going. Make sure you're all there or thereabouts in February, March. Look at Spennymoor. Came from nowhere towards the end of the season. They got to the trophy final, but they were just a point, just like Hereford, a point outside the playoff positions at the end of the campaign, and they had a late surge. Just shows you what you can do. So don't write things off after first 90 minutes. Absolutely ridiculous to do so. Yes, there are some pointers there. Yes, there's some anxiety about getting the ball into the back of the net. It's a hangover from Scunthorpe game, perhaps, at the end of last season. People were saying, oh, it's a very similar setup. Well, good. Good that it's a similar setup. Hereford got into a point away from a playoff position. Let's hope they get as close, if not one point better off. 75 points might actually be enough this next year, because as I say, I think it's going to be ultra competitive.
Yeah, and a reminder that last season's tally of 76 points would have been enough to earn Hereford a place in the playoffs in each of the last three seasons following COVID. Only time will tell whether they can replicate that this campaign. Let's take a look at what else happened in the National League North on Saturday. Buxton secured a 2-1 victory at home to Radcliffe. Bedford Town, they marked their return to the sixth tier with a 2-2 draw at home to Alfreton. Chester, they beat Peterborough Sports by 3-2. Curzon Ashton and Leamington finished 1-1. Fylde beat Oxford City by 3-2. Kidderminster marked the beginning of the post-Phil Brown era by beating Scarborough Athletic by 1-0. Merthyr earned a 2-0 victory over Southport on their return to the 6th tier. South Shields beat Marine by 1-0. And Chorley secured a great win at Darlington 3-2, despite Milan Laukovic's 39th-minute red card. And Hereford's next opponent, Kings Lynn, drew 1-1 at home to Telford. It certainly doesn't get any easier for Hereford. It's Kings Lynn up next to finish 6th in the league table to qualify for the playoffs last season. They lost to Chester in the quarterfinals. It's been a summer of change for the Linnets. Adam Laitland departed following disagreements with the club over budget cuts and was replaced by former Gloucester City boss James Rowe. But they are full-time, Keith. It's another tough game.
Without a doubt. There again, you know, Hereford fans are going to try and turn out in numbers. We've had more season ticket sales, I believe, than last season already. And there may well be multi-match tickets down the line and that sort of thing. So hopefully the crowds will maintain, you know, their belief and get behind the side. And we go from there. Yeah, it'll be a difficult encounter. It always is against Kings Lynn. It's the first time we've ever won at the Walks Stadium last year. That was a momentous victory, or certainly felt like it, with Romain Campbell scoring. A lot of supporters down there at Kings Lynn on that particular afternoon, I remember. So just bear with it. Just get in and get behind the team as much as you can. They need your support. And, you know, talk about the 12th man, but it does make a difference if the crowd are quiet and they're not really getting involved. I think the players sometimes think, well, yeah, I've signed for a club that have 3,000 gates, but I'm not hearing you much. It's best, you know, to give them encouragement rather than A, silence, or B, doom and gloom. It's a very, very packed programme in the first couple of months, August, September. Everybody's saying, oh, well, it's a tough opener. It's a difficult start to the season. You've got to play these teams at some stage during the campaign, and they may not be fully gelled. They may not be in, you know, the best of, I think, they drew the weekend. So I wouldn't read too much into things early on. You just got to, you know, hope that things settle down a little bit, and I'm sure they will. More time on the training ground. Paul Caddis wants more, obviously, only twice a week. It's not really going to give them time to work necessarily on set pieces and that sort of thing. But in terms of team structure and what he's looking for his squad and what options he's got from the bench, and he can look at all of that week by week. I mean, I remember the first season he came in, there was a real flux of players coming in and out until he felt, you know, this was a competitive unit, and it will come. It's just a matter of time.
Absolutely. And of course, that game will be live on Radio Hereford FC. We're on air at 3:15, as always, on a Saturday afternoon. Keith, thanks very much for your time. I know that before we go, you just want to give a quick mention to Talking Ball. It's the first edition of the season.
Yeah, first edition under the new editor, Tom Goff, part of the London Bulls. You'll be familiar with him from the London Bulls podcast, that sort of thing. He's come in and there's lots of varied content in there. It's absolutely jam-packed. 48-page, full colour, no changes to the price. It's still £3. You can get a print copy either at the ground on Saturday, first come, first served, or online via the Talking Ball online store. And if you'd rather a digital copy, a PDF copy, then you can get those as well. They're actually on sale right now. So whenever you're listening to this podcast, if you click on talkingball.org, check for the online store, drop down there and you can see all of the items that we have on offer. So get a print copy or you can get a digital copy. And I'm really pleased we've got a new sales team as well. Give them a mention and they'll be there before kickoff. So look out and listen out for them ahead of kickoff. That's a really good issue.
Thank you very much for listening to the first episode of the Balls Cast. We'll be back next week to review everything from the Kings Lynn match. Until then, it's bye for now.
This is Radio Hereford FC, the home of the Bulls.